This year is followed by a rapid review. After the rapid review, there is the same daf from the previous cycle of Daf Yomi with a different ambience and different participants, which may interest you as a chazara or maybe actually the one you prefer hearing. Today's daf is Masechet Avodah Zarah. We're holding our daf Mem Hei at the Halakha Mishnah. Hanochrim haovdim et ha'arim ve'et ha'givaot hein mutarin u'mashaleihem asurim. So although we discussed up until now the assumption that anything that was ne'avad had a din of an avodah zarah, it was a tzelem, we're about to discover that there are certain things that don't become usur just because someone was oveded. So here, if a goy worshipped mountains or hills, the truth is almost all the Rishonim hold there's no nafkamina in this halacha between a Jew and a goy. There's only one shita that holds that there is in terms of tzipuyos, we'll see. But we're just assuming that it's a nochrim because we don't want to mention it. We're talking about behoveh. So normally it would be a nochri that would worship something that is mechuber to the earth. It's part of the earth itself. Hein mutarim. The things which are worshipped themselves remain mutar. But masha alehem asurin. The things, however, that are covering them, there are on them, let's say you covered the hill with a gold covering. Actually, I mean, the main place where this would be nageh is a balchai. Balchai also is not ne'esar, but let's say you decorated the balchai with something, so it's a tzipui. We call this a tzipui of a ne'evad. That's the technical din, tzipui ne'evad. The tzipui remains asur. She'ne'emar lo tachmot kesev v'zahav alehem, so that the things which are on them are nonetheless asur. So even though there's two completely different halachas. We say Abet Abdunet Kola Mikomot, and there it says Elohehem Al Harim Haramim V'Al Hagivaot V'Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan. So there we're going to darshan, as we'll see in a moment. Harim themselves are not Elohim. It's Elohehem Al Harim. If you worship the Harim, it's not included. However, here it says the Psilei Al Elohehem Tisrfum Be'ish. Lo tachmot kesev zahav aleihem v'lakach talach. So that aleihem is marbe, that even where the thing itself is not considered to be osur, such as over here where we were memayed it, nonetheless, the tzipui is considered to be osur. Now there's a number of issues here. First of all, what is the mekor, according to the Tanakhama, that the god itself is mutter? The har itself is mutter. Most Rishonim assume that it's from the posik that Rabbi Yossi Aglili is about to bring, which is the diuk in Elohehem al Heharim, velo Heharim Elohehem. It's a little bit strange that the Tanakhama shouldn't bring it, and that only Rabbi Yossi Aglili should bring it. So therefore, there are those who hold that actually they're learning out from the posik of lo tachmot kesev zahav alehem velakachta is itself the remez that the kesev is av alone is what's osir. But the thing itself is not osir. That they actually learning it out from that posik. That's one issue in terms of the limud. The other issue is, what does the limud teach us? Rashi here says, although there's other gersos in Rashi, which Tosis brings in older versions of Rashi, Rashi here learns, based on the Gemara in Chulin, that if somebody shechts with his kavana for a mountain, that is not considered to be zivchei metim. On the other hand, if he shechts for the kavana of the god of the har, the god of the mountain, so then it is considered to be zivchei metim. Therefore, Rashi understands that to mean that this is not simply a miut, that it doesn't become ne'esar, despite the fact that the pasuk is talking about only abet abdun, so that it's being memayit Elohim al harim. It's being memayit the harim from the ta'abed, from the din of destroying. Rashi learns that this is actually, by definition, telling you that it's not an avodah zarah at all. Because of that, takroves to such a thing is not takrove to avodah zarah. So if that's the case, why then is the tzipui considered to be asur? The thing itself is not an avodah zarah. Gzerat HaKatuv. The tzipui becomes ne'esar. And a further gzerat HaKatuv, that someone who goes and worships this har, even though the har itself isn't ne'esar, and even though the har itself doesn't have a din of an idol, that nonetheless someone who worships with the kavona for avodah zarah, despite the fact that what he worshipped doesn't get a din of an avodah zarah, is chayev. This is the approach of Rashi. The Rabbeinu Tam.
It's self-generated. You have a projection of it.
All Avodah Zarah is self-generated. The question is whether the thing itself gets a din of an Avodah Zarah.
So here we're saying that. So even though I didn't do Avodah Zarah, it's fascinating. Even though I didn't do Avodah Zarah to a thing,
right.
What I was doing was saying there is an alternative reality which I am worshiping.
Yeah, it's correct. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
So, is it necessary even for there to be an object? And there's the object trigger to that?
You mean an object, a physical object, the god of the heart?
I serve the great
omen. Okay, let's see, now is not the time to concentrate on this. Let's hear the other sheet. So Rabbeinu Tam disagrees vehemently with Rashi, does not see how it's possible to say that there's no Avodah Zarah, but you're still considered to be Avodah Zarah. It doesn't make sense to him. Therefore, he's machalik, the Gemara and Chulin, between the har and the god of the har, is because of the fact that since you're not, there it's talking about you're not in front of the har. So if you're not in front of the har and you're trying to worship a physical object, it's not considered to be worship. If you're worshiping the theology, the god of the har, fine. So then it becomes takrovis for Avodah Zarah because that doesn't have a particular physical location. But to be Avodah the har, when you're not in sight of the har, is not considered to be Avodah. That's how Tosus understands that distinction. Memela, according to him, the Pasuk is only coming to be Memayet from Abet Abdun, Eloheihem Alaharim, from the mitzvah of Abet Abdun. Namely, that it doesn't become Aser. So since the Torah is saying you don't have to destroy the mountain, it must be that the mountain doesn't become Aser. But that's all it's telling you. It's not telling you it's not an object of Avodah Zarah. It's an object of Avodah Zarah that has no Isurim attached to it to you because he can't Aser it. It's part of the earth and it's not in his hands to Aser. Now, that's a totally different approach, which the Ri in the Tesis also disagrees with. He agrees with Rashi. Because whoever heard of this new idea, you have to be near a thing in order to be Avodah Zarah. Why would that be? Why does the physicality require, therefore, different dinim in how close you are? But I mean, you could certainly understand what the Rabbeinu Tam is saying. If you're focusing on an object and not an idea, so then the object can't be something in your mind. The object has to be an object. Where's the object? Okay. A totally different approaches. Is it a din in the chefts of the Avodah Zarah? Or is it a din in the mitzvah of Abet Abdun? In any event, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, apparently arguing about something, although it doesn't seem to be arguing, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, well, after all, it does say Eloheihem Alaharim, Velo Heharim Eloheihem, which tells me that the mountains are mutter. The Gemara is going to say that. Yeah, that's exactly what the Tanakhama said. What are you arguing about? It says Eloheihem Al Hagivaot. I mean, obviously it only mentions Eloheihem once, but then it goes on to say three things. Al Harim, and Al Hagvaot, and Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan. Well, each one of those things is an Eloheihem on. Elohim on the Harim, Elohim on the Gvaot, or Elohim under the Kol Eitz Ra'anan, which is Asherah. So therefore, the Pasuk is coming to say, again, we don't see in what way he's disagreeing, Pasuk is coming to say that the Harim are not Aser. Eloheihem al ha-Givaot, but the Givaot themselves do not become Aser. V'lo ha-Givaot Eloheihem. So then, you'll ask me, but if that's the case, the last part of the Pasuk, which says, V'tachat kol Eitz Ra'anan, implies that the Eitz Ra'anan doesn't become Aser. So how come it says all over that you're supposed to destroy the Asherah, Asherahim Tisrafun, or Asherahim Tegadeun? According to this, the Asherah would not become Aser. So how do you explain the difference between the drosha of Al and the drosha of Tachat? I mean, it's exactly the same drosha. So, mipnei ma asherah asurah. How then do you explain the fact that the Torah specifically says that the asherah is asurah? That's because, mipnei sheyesh batvisat yedei adam, v'chol sheyesh batvisat yedei adam, is considered to be asur. That's the point. We'll see what that means. This is going to end up being the essential difference between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi Aglili. But since now there's a major difference between the tree and the mountain, the difference being that the mountain is a natural occurrence, whereas the tree could be a human occurrence. The human could have planted the tree. So there would be three dargot. A human could have planted the tree for an asherah. A human could have planted the tree, and then 50 years later, somebody came along and worshipped an asherah. Or the tree could have grown on its own, and then it would seem to be similar to a mountain. So it's not clear exactly what we mean by tvisat yedei adam. And here is where there's going to be distinctions in the different shitot in the Mishnah.
That
we'll see. We shall see. Omer Rabbi Akiva. Look, Let me explain to you why you don't need that. There's a major difference between how to understand the pasuk of Al Ha'arim or Al Hagvaot and Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan. You see, the assumption that you are making is that you were making a drasha over here. Torah is saying Al, but not the thing itself. Tachat and not the thing itself. Because of that, you got a problem. Because I mean, that's the only thing that Torah is saying. I mean, so it's exactly the same drasha. So where do you get a right now to stop make a difference? What's as far as you're wrong. It's not a drasha. The point of the pasuk is identification. That's all. The Torah is telling you, you need to assume that if this is a place that's a makom gavoya, then there's an avodah zara here. If it's a tachat and eitz ra'anan, there's an avodah zara here. That's all it's telling you. Now you don't have to darsh at anything. Now consider the implications of the pasuk. Why would the Torah tell only to destroy the Elohe Al Ha'arim? Once it's coming to tell me what to destroy, so tell me to destroy the harim also. There's no mitzvah to destroy the harim. But when you come to the Asherah, what are you going to say? Why didn't the Torah tell me to destroy the Asherah? What, are you crazy? There's so many places that Torah said to destroy the Asherah. Et Asherah yun tegadeyun. Et Asherah tisrafum be'ej. So that, you can't ask me, why didn't the Torah bother to tell me? It did bother to tell me. But since Lamaisa, there is no place where the Torah told me about destroying Harim and Gvaot, so we're left with the fact that there's no such mitzvah. But it's not the fact that it mentions the Al that's mamayat the thing. It's just that there's no place where the Torah came to tell me to do it. I mean, obviously, it's a very glaring omission, isn't it? If you're coming to discuss what to destroy, you can't be more glaringly omittive than not saying to destroy the mountain. And you don't make it up. That's the point. So, Mamela, you can't ask me, so how come over here I'm darshing this? I'm not darshing anything. I'm just telling you what's left when you read the pasuk. The pasuk never said to destroy Harim, and it never said to destroy Gvaot. That's the meaning of it. Therefore, let's look inside. Amar Rabbi Akiva, listen. Aniovin, let's look into this with a little bit of insight. Lashon Bina. And then I'll explain it to you, because then you'll see. V'adun lefanech. I'll don this pasuk. Not be derish. I'm going to be don the pasuk. I don't need to be derish the pasuk. The point over here is, the Torah is telling you that kol makom shatam Motzei Har Gavoa, the Giv'a Nis'ah, the Eitz Ra'anan, you should know, Sheyeshem Avodat Kochavim. That's the bottom line. And therefore, such a thing is Mechayev you now. Could be Mechayev you to look, but it could be more. We'll see later on that there is a Shita, that those things become Posel L'Gavaya. Even though they're not Osir L'Had yet, they're Osir L'Gavaya. And we find a number of things that are Osir L'Gavaya, but are Mut L'Had yet. Let's say by Nevad, we know for a fact that the animal, even though we're Mamayan animals for becoming Osir L'Had yet, they do become Osir L'Gavaya for a carbon if it's a Nevad, right? Okay, there's other examples. So the idea over here, therefore, leaves us, according to that Shita, as Yerushalmi, yes, as it brings here. So how could we build the Beis HaMikdash on Har HaMoriah? Our Liba to Rabbi Akiva, you have to assume that it's Nevad.
Every mountain, every...
That's what it's saying. This is a cement. Kol Harim, right? That could be, but the Yerushalmi answers that it differs because it's Alpi Novi. But Pashtus doesn't mean Alpi Novi, the way the Kuzri explains it. What's the difference between the Ruvim and the Egel? That is, one is your own. But rather, Alpi Novi, that the Novi identified it as a Mokum Beneskosher for a Bezim. It could also be. There are... You don't have to say that. There are others, interestingly enough, who taina that Hara Moriah Lamrot Posit Al Achat Harim Asherol only became a har when Avram Avinu chose it as the base. I mean, so that initially it wasn't a har, and therefore it wasn't us. Once Avram chose it, it was given to him. Given to him, then they can't ask him on the Moshe Dovashen Asherol. But this is Achrein Asherol. Anyway, that's Elohim Yakim Bamidbar Har. Okay, says the Gemara. I understand. Rabbi Yosef Galili didn't add anything. Well, he's saying the same thing that Tanakama said, no? So Rabbi Yosef Galili, I know Tanakama. He's telling you that the Harim do not become Osir. The Gevot do not become Osir. So what is he saying any different than the Tanakama? Omar Rami Barchom and Reish Lakish. No, there's a big difference. The difference would be in the question of the Tzipuyahar. That's the difference. Is that the Tanakama is saying, the main point of the Tanakama is that Mashalayim is Asurin. So if there's any Tzipuy, and the Tzipuy becomes Asur. Now, I would have thought on my own that the Tzipui is bottled to the har, no? I mean, if you put something, you cover something with gold. So covering it with gold now is going to give the gold the same din as what it is that it's covering. It becomes bottled to it. So if the har is mutter, so then so too is the tzipui mutar. Comes along now the posik to tell me that grad it's not like that. And that the tzipui remains asur. So in other words, the Tanakama Sava, tzipui ahar eino kahar. That just because it's attached to the mountain doesn't give it the same din as the mountain. And therefore, it becomes asur, umitza. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili doesn't mention bichlal, the diak of aleihem. Because he holds, if it's a tzipui, so then by definition, it's part of the har. The only nafkamina would be legabe the asherah. Now that could be something else. What about if something is planted? That we'll see. Rav Shesha says, no. Rav Yosef Glili wasn't coming to address the question of the aleihem, and he holds something different than the Tanakama. That everybody agrees, tzipui ahar and okahar doesn't have the same heter as lo ahorim aloihem, that tzipui is vadayoser, there's nobody who's chelik on that. You know what the difference between the Tanakama and Rav Yosef Glili is? The asherah. You'll notice the focus of Rabbi Yossi Aglili on the Asherah. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that the Asherah, he speaks out this whole thing, why then is the Asherah different? And then he throws in, he says the Asherah is different. That would be fine, except that he adds a piece that nobody's asking him for. You just said that, no? Wait a minute. Oh, and by the way, you should know it's a klal, yeah? So he's adding something, sort of snuck it by us, we didn't notice. He starts off with an innocent question. How do you explain the fact that Asherah is also? Well, as a tvisas odom. And you should understand, of course, once it's tvisas odom, it's also. So that piece that he snuck by us, that was the machloket. Of course the Tanakhama agrees that an Asherah is also, obviously. It's a version of Pasek. So if he's coming along now to give this whole svara, why is the Asherah also? He's adding something. He's telling you, if at any point in the history of this tree, it did not occur naturally, but only through the intervention of human hands, then this tree is not a mountain. It's a tree. And a tree can become also. Now, the difference, of course, between that approach and the simple approach of an Asherah is that, like this, I understand it. It says an Asherah, so the Torah is coming to tell me if I plant the tree, L'shem Avodah Zarah, that's defined as an Asherah. But, I mean, if I plant the tree and then 50 years later somebody comes and worships the tree, it's no different than any other tree. Comes along Rabbi Yossi to say, no, that's not the case. The tree that was planted 50 years before, there was human intervention somewhere. The hand of a human being was Tefes Bay. It doesn't have a din of iron. Now, where he gets this from, obviously, we're going to have to find Sukkim. I mean, where does he get a right to extend this new halacha that an Asherah means anything? That at some point, that tvisat adam, that we'll see. But that is exactly, you can always find the sneaky point in the Mishnah where the machloket is. And it's that nekuda. So, an ilan shinit ta'o l'besof avadot kamiflegit. Tanakama savar ilan shinit ta'o l'besof avadot would be mutter, because it wasn't planted l'shem avadat kochaviv. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili savar ilan shinit ta'o ul besof avado asur. How do I know that that is the makom turpa of the machloket? Read the Mishnah carefully. Mimai miriktani seifa mipnei ma ashera asura mipnei sheyesh batvisat yedei adam. That's enough. Then he goes ahead and says v'chol sheyesh batvisat yedei adam asur. What is that? Chol sheyesh batvisat yedei adam latimai. What's he coming to throw that little piece in? Lav latuye lanchin atol besof avado. That's it. That is the point of the machlok. And the truth is, not only Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds this, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda also holds. Af Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda savar, ilan shenita'o, ulebesof avado, is asur, the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda omer. Look, if you start off with the pasuk, Elohim ala harim velo harim Elohim. We darshin Elohim ala gvaot velo gvaot Elohim. So then your natural response would have been, so the last words in the pasuk, tachat kol etz ra'anan, the same drosha. Shemeani Elohim tachat kol etz ra'anan. That means the darshan tachat kol etz ra'anan Elohim velo etz ra'anan Elohim. In which case the Asherah should be mutter. Tamud lomar the Asherim tisrafun be'esh. Aye, so then what's the meaning of tachat kol etz ra'anan if it's not coming to teach me that? Nonsense. It's coming to tell me something completely different. The Pasuk itself is coming to tell me what Rabbi Akiva says. Keep your eyes peeled. There's definitely an Avodah Zarah there somewhere. You find something under there, it's an Avodah Zarah. So who could look at Rabbi Akiva with the eye? The Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ani Ovin Vadun Lefanecha, Kol Makom Shata Motze Har Gavoa, V'Giv'a Nis'a V'Eitz Ra'anan, Da, She'esham Avodat Kochavim. So now you'll say, okay, so if that's the case, then the Rabbanan, I mean, I said Rabbanan don't read the Pasuk of Asherayim Tisfum V'Eish. So why do the Rabbanan say that an Asherah Shinatol B'Sof Avodah Zarah? So what are they doing with Asherayim Tisrafun V'Eish? Says, what do they do? Me boy, they lunch in the Torah mitchila lekach. I mean, obviously, we take the simplest meaning of the pasuk first. You can't jump two stages. We already pointed out there's three stages: a naturally occurring tree, a tree that was planted by a human, and then later on somebody decided to worship, and a tree that was initially planted as an Avodah Zarah. So if you have a pasuk that tells you, Ashereyem tisrafun be'esh, which one is it referring to? Obviously, the third one. You don't have a right because of Akum's razor. Don't forget good old Akum. So because of Akum's razor, you can only ask the Akum that's most obvious, right? Which is the Avodah Zarah when it was planted, l'shem Avodah Zarah.
No,
that it says tachat. Tachat means only the tachat is also not the thing that we don't disagree.
That
what? Where's the tefisat yad? The same thing on the mountain. You say I have a tefisat yad on the mountain because I worship it.
No, but the
I could build, bring a bulldozer to take down the mountain too. I mean, that's how called tefisat yad. Says the Gemara. Wait a minute. So then they're right. I get it. So where do we get the idea from? So at last we get now to the question of what would be the makor for learning that Visatayad is Vichol Shieshwa. La Tuye, even the case where 50 years ago somebody planted it. So Rabbi Yudanami Miboilov, doesn't he need the Pasuk of Asherehem Tisrafun Beish to tell me the Asherah that's planted for Avodah Zarah? Indeed he does, Achinami. So, no. Come on, come off it. Tell me already. You got me on the edge. You tell me, yeah. I love that. So Ilan Shinatol Vesofa Vadominole. Oh, that, you want to know that? Why didn't you say so? Navkale, that he knows from Ashereyem to Gadeun. Now, notice that we have a little bit of a problem here, because the Ashereyem to Srifun Be'esh, that's the whole tree, including the root. Ashereyem to Gadeun means cut it down. What do we cut it down? What about the trunk? What about the root? So apparently that's a tree that the trunk does not become usher. The roots don't become usher. I don't need to burn it. How do you explain that? So apparently there's two types of Asherahs. There's an Asherah, which is the entire tree as Avodah Zarah, and I got to burn it down. That's the Tisrafun. Then there's an Asherah that was planted 50 years ago. It lived, and it had all these beautiful things, Bob, love, sorry, or something like that, in it, and it still stays there in the same place. You got to look down, and it's still there. So that part, it remains mutter. Then somebody comes along and worships it. Now the new growth is usher. So you only have to cut down above the heart with the arrow, right? I mean, you wouldn't want to cut down all that love. So you're left with a different type of Asherah, which means first you were planted it for Noi B'Alma, and then somebody worshipped it. So Ezeu Echigiduo Asurvi Karomutar. What kind of tree would be like that? Well, you don't have to do Sreifa on the actual root. Ave Omer Ilan Shinitaola Besofavado. That explains that there's two completely different in him. One for an initial Asherah L'Shem Avodah Zarah, and one for Yeshbo Tvisat Yidei Adam as a kol Yeshbo Tvisat Yidei Adam. Masha'in Kain, a tree that was grown all on its own, and somebody comes along and worships, it says Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan, but not the Eitz Ra'anan itself. So there we have our three dargets. Wait a minute, but that's not what he said, you know, but it's all very nice. But if you look back at what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yudah said, he quoted the Pasuk of Ashereyem Tisrafun. He did not quote the Pasuk of the Tigadeun. The whole point over there was that he was coming to tell me an Ilan Shinatola Besofa Vado, you said. So he's bringing the wrong Pasuk for the wrong Limut. So Vahasherem Tisrafun Beish Kanasi Vlal Talmud. He brought his Raya from that Pasuk, not from your Pasuk. No, you don't understand. You don't understand what he's doing. He's telling you, Ilulo Ne'emar. That's what he's saying. Look, is it not true if it hadn't been for the Pasuk of Ashereyom Tisrafun Be'esh? So what would would you have learned from the pasuk of Asherayim to Gadayim? That's what he's saying. If I only had one pasuk, I don't care what it said, I would be limited to understanding it as an Asherah that was planted l'shem Asherah. Now that it says Asherayim to Sufrim Be'esh, now I get a completely different perspective on the whole thing. Because now I see, indeed, there's two limudim, and they're different type of limudim. So apparently, there's a din of kol she'esh profisat adam, which is aser in a different way than something was planted. That's what he was saying. Talmud Lomar, thank God we have that original diak, so now we can understand that the other pasuk is meant different. So in other words, let's see that inside. Ilu lo ne'amar kamar, what he's saying is, ilu lo ne'amar, asherehem tisrufun be'eh. So then I would have made the mistake of saying, Hayiti Omer, that the pasuk va'asherehem tigadeun is indeed talking about an ilan, shinita omitchila lakach. And I would never have known that if it wasn't initially planted as an avodah zarah, that it would be osraf apikin. Therefore, that's why I want to bring you this pasuk. Now that the pasuk indeed says, I now have an extra pasuk. Now I have left over the pasuk of Asherayim Tigadayun. What is that for? Beautiful dia. So what indeed did the Rabbanon do with this extra pasuk? I mean, they were saying that we only have one pasuk, and that pasuk comes to tell me, Ilan Shinito Mitchilo L'Shem Asherah.
Saying that I'm only going to cut off the top and I'm not going to have...
No, we're not only going to be medayik to Gadayun once I understand the difference.
Ah, then it was not until Kach, I mean totally approved.
Yeah. So what did the Rabbana do with Asherayim to Gadayun, my Avilema? Clearly, there's two different dargas here, no? Yes, there are indeed. Let me ask you something. Kodesh Baruch Hu tells us we come at Eretz Yisrael, Ave Asherayim to Gadayun, Bizbuchotayim to Tatsiun. It's like a whole big deal. On the other hand, the first thing we're supposed to do is shoot up the land, no? So what do we do first? Do we take out the hatchet or we take out the machine gun? Ah, this is what it's coming to teach. The order of event. Here's what it's coming to tell us. Likud Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, they use this pasuk to tell me that there are sequential approaches to Avodah Zarah. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says like this. First thing you do, you come into Eretz Yisrael, cut down the Asherah. First thing you do is you cut down the tree. You do a Avodat Kohen. That's Kodmim Lekibush Eretz Yisrael. But you don't sit around here uprooting from the ground and burning it. You have no time for that. Next thing you do is take out the machine gun. So then comes Kibush Eretz Yisrael. That comes before the Biur Avodat Kochavim. Then we get rid of all the Akum. Now you can go and get rid of all the Kum. So Mamela, you can go back. And you can now be Soreif. Okay, that's the point. The Tony Rabbi Yosef is Medayik, this Gufa from this Pasuk. He says in a Braita, which the Braita doesn't seem to make any sense. He says, it says, V'nitat stemet mizbichotam, bust up their altars. And then what do? Leave it there. V'anach. Huh? Shibartem et matzevotam. Okay, what do? Leave it. Hanach. Hanach? But Hanach salkadaita. What do you mean Hanach? I thought we said you have to be soref. It said before, tisrafun be'esh. So how can you possibly say, it says, psilei Elohim tisrafun be'esh. So what are you telling me, Hanach? Hanach salkadaita? How could you think such a thing? Srefa boy. I mean, at the very least, to prevent people from being nichshal. I mean, Ravuna, the point over here is to teach me the order of events. That's the idea. Hanach, for a moment, okay? Now spend the next 14 years hunting down these guys. Rudolph, then come back. Mopping up. Then come back to get rid of it completely. First thing to do is to be the Reitim. Then when you get rid of all of the victims of your Adifa, you can come back and get rid of all of the Avodah Zarah. That's very nice.
But a simpler mind thing. That he would be taking out people who would prevent us from destroying the
Avodah. That's not Rido. Obviously, you have to first be able to get to the Avodah or whatever that takes. But in terms of the Chiyuv of wipe them all out, make sure that they're not hanging around there, the thorns in your side, that's Radifa. That comes after you. Obviously, to be able to go in, you need to, use a neutron bomb first to go in.
So
you go in, then you take out first level, and then you start looking into the bomb shelf, if anybody managed to survive, get rid of them. Then you come back, and this is the way to do it.
Yeah. See, we've all been infected by Western morality. It hurts to say these things, right? No. It only hurts people who haven't lived around them. That's the point. It's amazing. This is like a big liberal once told me. Anybody who loves Arabs, it's because he's never lived.
typically when I serve them in a liberal, conservative is a liberal who is bugged.
Right, yeah, same idea. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. So wait a minute. So now Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda is in trouble because Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda used the two psukim not to teach me the sequential approach to the redifa and the sreifa. He used it to tell me that there were two different dinim of asherot. So how does he now know this whole halacha of Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi? So how, I swore him he know, like, how does he know it? And you can't tell me that he knows it by extension from Mizbechoteyem and Matzevoteyem. Because maybe there's a different halacha on the living matter, on trees and so on. How do you know? He knows this from the lashon of Abet Abdunet Kolamikomot. Why does it say a double lashon? Abet Abdun. I mean, that mizmash, but there's two stages. So first, abey, take that first level, wipe it out. Then, later on, you'll come back to be tabdun totally. So wait, so the Rabbanan, they could have learned that also from there. So why don't they agree now with Rabbi Yossi that the idea is to actually have a ribui for an avodah zarah, an asherah that was first netola b'sof avodah? No, no, the Rabbanan say that abey tabdun doesn't mean stages. That abey tabdun means total. When the Torah uses the word twice, it's coming to be marba absolute. Sure. So it means go after it. You boy like lo okera avodat koravim. But the din is, you can't just tear something out. You got to go and make sure that there's no living veins that are left. You have to go and be mishare shachareah. No, no, it's not whatever it is. It's not telling me sequential. You're coming to get rid of it. Don't say, well, I don't see it. It's enough. It's not enough. Nothing. Don't leave anything to it. Ooh, wait a minute. Then Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, l'share shachareah minole. So then how does he know? By the way, that wasn't a loose comparison. That's exactly the point. The point of he just made a comparison to cancer. And it's exactly the point. If you understand the nature of these issues, in other words, you understand that religion is a cancer. It really is. It needs to be neakar, or the idea of Dawkins' idea of a virus. You can't leave it slumbering there and assume it'll be okay because you've addressed this, you've addressed it. The earth itself, the development of the species, goes through as an organism exactly the same thing that an individual organism goes through. We talked about this in the defecation comparison. So avodah zarah is defecation. You have to get rid of the things that you utilize and get rid of the garbage. And then there's issues there that remain shayach l'avodah shamayim. That's the food. That's achilas ha-mizbeach. The rest is pure, and therefore should be treated as such, talked about as such, and made fun of as such. That's the idea. The question over here of being misharish is indeed a medical issue. It's not a moral issue. Very similar to this idea. If you leave a sharish of something, then it just regrows. So that there's nothing to do but take absolutely drastic steps. You're saying, here's a loved one, Rachmana Litzlani, you're cutting out this piece of them and that piece of them, you're going to throw away their intestines, throw them away. What are you, crazy? So that is done lightly. That's done with horror, mamish horror. But it's done with the understanding that it's that or nothing. Exactly the same thing. It's that or nothing. That's the point. Torah doesn't lightly say to go out and be Eker Amim and so on. It needs to, it's a very, very powerful dugma, and that's exactly what Daniel was saying. It's not, it's really a cancer. There's no question. There's no question. That's exactly, as the Rambam explained, that's exactly what was doing people in. And it's amazing that it's mamish only now, in the past 20 years, that this has become now an issue in the general population's mind. There are people becoming more aware of the dangers of religion. They're calling it viruses. They're calling it dangerous. And here's this guy, this biologist, this evolutionary biologist, Dawkins, Richard Dawkins. And he's going around, demanding Akira because there's no way to stop it. You can't. The bottom line is you have people whose approach to Derech HaEmet is absolutely destroyed because they're being raised this way, because you're activating parts of their brain that are always going to prevent them from thinking, from being open, from developing. How can you do that? Well, we're going to allow, because a parent says, I want to destroy my child. You're going to allow them to destroy their child? No. On that level, he understands the nature of the Akira. Yeah, to me, I've actually seen a fantastic story. It appeared in science fiction magazine. It's called Damascus, frightening story, in which there was
was this this type of mad cow disease was affecting people's brain, and they would believe in these figures and these godlike images that were always with them and so on, and they would go around injecting their own blood into people to get them to come along to the religion. Yeah, it's a horrifying thing. No, it takes place in a hospital, and it's like a journey. But momish, this is the, and it ends with such a powerful thing that this Christian woman who you thought originally was part of them, and it turns out no, she's just a regular frum Christian. So she comes into the hospital to this woman who had the disease and who they were able to cure her of it, but she's dying from it. But at least she understands what's going on. So she comes to be Makarver to Yashki, right? You know, she basically has murdered 10 million people, she feels, because she started this whole, you know. So this woman says, don't worry, you know, God has God's grace, you'll be forgiven, come to Yashke, blah, 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 gives her the whole thing. And this woman tells her, this woman who had this illness says, there's only one thing left for me, to die bitahara, just want to die clean, not with any of this. That's a myriad thing. Turn around. It's fantastically powerful. And it's mamish only, look at that. It took thousands of years to catch up with the Torah's vision of what this is. There's no compromises. You cannot. That's the whole Masechta's like this. Burn them down. Rip it to pieces. Destroy the people. Don't leave a zecher. It's a fabulous temple. Tear it to pieces. Grind it up. Throw it into. Make sure it doesn't infect anybody else. It's amazing, the image. It's a very, very powerful sense of how disastrous the nature of it is. Or is.
Any connection. That's mu'uma. That's the point.
The third thing, you have some connection. Mu'uma. Lo yidbak biyotcha. It's stuck to you on some level. You think it's not going to destroy you? It'll destroy you in the end. And that's the Pell of the Rambam who says it. So you'll think, what's the big deal? So some crazy guy gives you a red string from Kevaroch. Oh, it hurts to tie it around your hand. He says, what do you mean, does it hurt? This was the marker of the destruction of the entire Derech HaEmet that Avraham Avinu was aiming on. The slightest allowance of any type of superstition, of anything that isn't tamim in terms of the totality of a real picture of life, is completely destructive. It's not a little destructive. It's what leads to the undoing of everything. What an amazing thing to recognize. Anything that is superstition-oriented, that has to do with some type of religious... Mainly if it doesn't have to with anything religious, some kind of crazy people have crazy medical beliefs and so on and so forth. That doesn't have the same viciousness to... I'm saying this, that's not a religious issue, Ayin Hara. But things that have any type of religious connection, terribly dangerous. That's why he learns all of the Isurim are only because of Yisrael Vavayda Zora, essentially. I would say all appear in Hilchas Akum. Don't appear else. Din in Hilchas Akum. Even the medical stuff, by the way, is also, in its extreme, it's Darkei Amori, because it's attached. It always ends up getting attached to religion. You know, they'll make some type of religious meaning to it, even when it starts gently. But while it's supposedly just, a new age insight into the way we're really supposed to medicate and let our kids not get vaccines and die from smallpox and so on, the natural way always being better. But in the end, it always turns out to have something to do with religion. It's amazing. I'm sorry. Yes, our dear president.
Please, come. Your voice is very, very obvious.
Nashim Tatkaniyot used to go to Gever Rachel and they used to take threads and walk around it, and they used to say Tehillim there. And for those who couldn't come, they brought him a piece of the thread.
Take a look how damaging it already became, even though it started as being such a nice thing.
They said they buy the red string. They've never been to one. They buy the red string.
Yeah. No, I'd say we're living in times where it's becoming more and more clear, the distinction. That's part of the development of Achris HaYomim, which the difference between the Dveikus to a Derech HaEmes and the Dveikus to Inyanim of Avodah Zarah becomes more and more bolet with each passing day, literally. Because the world is basically split into two groups. It's split into people who think and believe that the world is meant to be understandable, open to facts, open to information, and more believe in the tmimus of the world, as the Rambam puts it. that there is a totality of a vision in which you can discover everything, a theory of everything, as opposed to people who believe that the world is somehow arbitrarily godlike, created for no particular reason or no particular format, in which data is meaningless, and there's not even an issue to go pursuing the data, because all it would do is make you not frum, and who believe that the important thing in life is what your heart tells you to believe in, and your self-generated religious feelings and emotional things that you attempt to create in yourself, as opposed to any sense of tamimus. It's becoming more and more clear that those are two different types of human beings.
And the latter would include even people who are ostensibly
Jewish. Yeah, of course, sure. Yeah. You can be Shomer Mitzvot, as the Rambam says, totally for Avodah Zarah purposes. I mean, it's always been an old joke, the closest religion to Judaism. Mm-hmm. But that's true now of all of these cults. they used it. Yeah, you exactly.
Fill in the blank.
As the Briskarov said. The Briskarov said this. You should know, he said, if Yomim Kitikuna, we would need to go out to be Eiker. These two groups, he mentioned the two groups that are still most insane today, that there would be a Chiev of Akira. Okay, well, what can you do? You can't go and be Eiker. But now it's becoming more and more clear to people. But you can actually, the same thing with Christianity, you know, is that they're also recognizing you have, there's only 30-some percent of Americans who believe in evolution.
30.
That's all.
Again, please?
There's only something like 60% who believe that the Earth goes around the sun. I mean, this is mamish unbelievable insanity.
The Earth goes around the sun?
See? So, yeah, I mean, this is okay. But it's clear to people that, you know, you have to do something. I mean, we can't allow the world to be destroyed because of the fact that people don't want to understand it. The impact on the mentality of America is now destroying their political capability to go hand in hand. Society can't hold together if it's not a derech emet. The whole point of the United States of America, l'chatchila, was that it was meant to be a country that always is mechapes emet. That was the point. There should be nobody that's mechayev something that, and the people that were in charge were people whose whole life was dedicated to the truth, which, by the way, was why they were also dovuk to Torah. Dovuk to Torah, Dovuk to Lashon HaKodesh, and unbelievable what's happened. That's what you do when you get immigration. You see, without control, you get all these Jews in there.
Because of immigrants?
I'm kidding.
But that's
the
element of truth.
No, I was just kidding.
Did you come into America with this search for truth in that kind of change the way...
No, this is very new. This business, this is a new Judaism. It's only 40 years old. It's all of it. 40, 45 years old.
So the immigration...
The current vision, this current Frumkeit is very, very new.
But the immigration of 150 years ago from Europe, 100 years ago.
Yeah, the simple people. I don't think so. No. Okay, anyway, back to the Gemara. So, sorry for the discursive discussion, but Mamash, it gives you a different sense of the meaning of the Masechta as a whole, the dimension. Okay, so there we learn it out. But if that's the case, then how could Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda use Abet Abdun, as he used it, for the series? How does he know that you're supposed to be Yorker Acharel then? That he learns out from the Pasuk of Ibadtamet Shemam. How are you Ma'abed Hashem? The only way you're Ma'abed Hashem is by leaving no Zecher of it at all. Otherwise, people always say, oh, the archaeologists have discovered the remains of, yes, so now it's still there. So if you uproot it completely, nobody's even going to remember the name. That's Ibud Hashem. V'rabana, no. Ibud Hashem is literally Ibud Hashem. Take the name and make a laughingstock out of it so that it becomes now meaningless. That's the point. So, Ahu Lechanot Lashem. Titania, Rebbe Eliezer, Omer, Minayin Lo, Keravodat Kochvim, Shetzarech Lesharei Shacharei. Talmud Lomar V'Ibad Temet Shema. So Rabbi Eliezer indeed tries to learn out from Ibad Temet Shema, like we were saying for Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, v'alo kvar nemar, Abet Abdun. We already know that. This, of course, like the Rabbona. Im kein ma Talmud Lomar V'Ibad Temet Shema min ha-makom ahu. That means lechanot l'shem. Say something to make a laughing stock out of it. Now, you might say, it just says change the name.
Maybe change the name for the better? Maybe Yochel Sheva. What, the Sheva? What do you mean the Sheva? I mean, why do you think we should make a nicer name for an Aveda Zara? The Shevach Sargadayla. I mean, just maybe you could just change it. And non-prejudicially change it. So at least that way, the name of the Aveda Zara itself is not recalled. And that would be sufficient. How do I know that you're supposed to be mezalzel in it? Elo yochol lo l'shevach v'lo l'gnai. Talmud lomar, therefore, the Torah adds over here, that's not enough. It shakates to shakzenu. Turn it into an absolute sheketz. And how do you do that? Ta'ev to ta'avenu. Kicherem o ha'ketza. Just say it had a nice name. Hoyo korinoto beit galya. The place that is open and aware. Call it the place in the pit where you can't see nothing. The dungeon. Korinoto beit karya. If they call it the ein kol, the open eye that knows all. Call it the eye of the thorn. In quotes. So it should be just close enough that no one will ever be able to say the original name without remembering, it's really Yoshka Pipik, isn't it? So you say something in which the name no longer has any chashivut to it.
Rav Rubio.
הנוכרים העובדים את ההורים ואת הגבעות, הן מותרים ומה שעליהם אסורים, שהם לא תחמות כסף וזהב עליהם. רבי יוסי הגבילי אומר, אלוהיהם על ההורים ולא ההורים אלוהיהם, אלוהיהם על הגבעות ולא הגבעות אלוהיהם. In which case, ובפני מה אשרה, אסורה, מפני שיש בה תפיסת ידי אדם, וכל שיש בה תפיסת ידי אדם אסור. Omer Rabbi Akiva, there is no problem. Ani ovin vadun lefanech. Kom makom, shata motse har gavoa, giva gav nisa, eitz ranan, da, shiye shem avadat kochavim, that's the point. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, ane tanakama. Omer Rami Baruch Omer Meshlok, it's tzipui har kahar ikbenayim. Tanakama serve a tzipui har in okahar, and therefore it's mitzar, even though the har remains mutter. Rabbi Yossi Aglili serve a tzipui har in okahar, and remains mutter. Reb Sheshet Sarman, no, Kuli Alma, Sipu Yar, Eino Kahar, and it's awesome. The question over here is the Asherah. How could be Yilanshin at all of a Sofa Vadoka Biflegin? Tanaka Mesava, only an Asherah that was originally Nata for Asherah. But an Yilanshin at all of a Sofa Vado is Mutter. Whereas Reb Yosei Glili Sava, Yilanshin at all of a Sofa Vado, also, how do I know this? Midiktani Seifa, Mipnei Ma, Asherah, Surah, Mipnei Sheyesh Patvisas Yidei Adam. And then he throws in koshi yesh batvisat yideyam. What's that? Koshi yesh batvisat adam latuyimai. Must be latuyi ilanchin etol b'sof avado. V'af Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yudah sovar ilanchin etol b'sof avado asur. The tani Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yudah omer. Mitok sh'neamar Eloheihem ala harim v'lo harim Eloheihem. Eloheihem ala gavaot v'lo gavaot Eloheihem. Shumei ani tachat kol eitzra anan Eloheihem v'lo eitzra anan Eloheihem. Talmud lomar v'ashereihem tisrafun ba'esh elo tachat kol etzran anomaly. Ah, that's how we look at Rabbi Akiva u'de'ata. Yom Rabbi Akiva, ani ovin v'adun lefanecha, kol makom sh'ata motzei ha'gavoa v'giva nisa v'etzran an, dash yeshem avadot kochavim. So we're born in hai v'ashereihem tisrafun ba'esh mayav, delay mi boile li'ilan, sh'yitol mitchila l'kach. Oh, Rabbi Yosef Rivan, amin mi boile l'ochi. You're absolutely right. So then he lunched and told himself, I don't mean all that. Nafkele mi v'ashereyam te gadei un. Ezoe che giduo asur, but Ikaro remains mut. Have you omri lunched and told himself, have a do? But he brought the posik of Ashereyam to Sufun Be'esh, can I see what? Talmuda. Now, that was Ilu lo ne'amar coming. Ilu lo ne'amar to Sufun Be'esh. So then I would have thought, hayiti omer v'ashereyam. Tigadeyun is talking about an ilanchin nata omitchila lakach, but ashta dechti vashereyam tisrafun beish. Now I tell you, vashereyam tigadeyun, to teach me an ilanchin nata all of a sofa vado. And the rabbonin, what do they do with vashereyam tigadeyun? I have the lady Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Dom Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Gidue akum kodmim le kibush eretz Yisrael. Kibush eretz Yisrael is kedem le biur avadat kochavim. The tani Rabbi Yosef vinitat stem et mizbichotam. Vahanach. ושיברתם את מצבותם, וענך, סלקה דייטך, שריפה בוי. עומר, ואונה, רדוף, ואחר כך שרוף. וביוס ורבירה הייספור מנולי, נפקלים יאבד, תאבדון, פרסט אבד, ואחר כך תאבדון. Rabbanan, no. That's how me by the law okay of Kachvim should circle Shari Shakara. So how does Rabbi Yossi know that? The Shari Shakara minole, Nafkalay Mivi Batem at Shmam Minamakomahu. Rabbanan, that means Shmam literally. How will the Chanot Lashem? Matani Rabbi Yezer Omer, Minayin lo care of that Kachvim should circle Shari Shakara, Tamud Lomavi Batem at Shmam. Amalo Rabbi Akiva, look for Nama Beit Abdun. אם כן, מה אתה עמוד לומר? ויבטם את שמם מן המקומו, לחנות לשם. יוכל לשבח, לשבח, what are you talking about? יוכל לא לשבח ולא לגנאי, תעמוד לומר, שקץ תשקצנו ותאהב תתאהבנו, כי חירמו. הקצר, היו קוראים אותו בית גליה, קוראים אותו בית קריה. אין קול, אין קוץ. Following is the daf from the year 2003 in the previous cycle. If you have nochrim that are ovdimitarim etagvaot, that are worshipping hills, mountains, then those hills and mountains are mutalim, umashalihim asalim. By the way, you'll notice that it never says anywhere nochrim. And the Mishnah always uses the word ovdekovavim akum. Apparently, the censor did not change this one because no one was worshipping Harim Ugvaos. It wasn't personal anymore. Yes, it doesn't mean that. So Nochrim that are worshipping parts of the earth, those parts are mutar. In other words, you cannot call a mountain usser and say you're not allowed to dig out of this mountain and use it for building materials, or you're not allowed to plant on this mountain because it's worshipped. A mountain does not become osur because someone is over it. But masha alehim asurim, things that are attached to the mountain as a tzibur, so it's not just that they happen to be there, but that they're meant to be an expression of the glory of the mountain. So you put some kind of gold design on the mountain. Those things are osur. Shne'emar lo tachmot kesev v'zahav alehim. So the Torah is telling you, whatever it is, alehen on any level, whether it's bechubar or whether it's tabush, the tzipui itself is asur. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is about to say is on the surface nothing but a gilui of what it is that we've been assuming all along. And this is going to bother the Gemara because what he seems to be saying is what the Tanakhama was basing its opinion on anyway. And he points out that in the Torah it says, Eloheihem al haharim. What does it mean when it says, is there the Torah is talking about in Re'e, to go and to destroy wherever you find their gods? So whether it's al haharim, or on the gvaot, or whether it's tachas kol etz ra'anan. So, but when it says their gods on the mountain, that makes it very clear that the mountains themselves cannot be gods. V'lo haharim Eloheihem. Elohim al hagvaot, the hills may have not gods on them, but lo hagvaot Elohim, the hills themselves are not gods. Why then umipnei ashera asura? No, it's because you would have thought that the continuation of the pasuk is v'tachat kol eitz ra'anan, which we should make the same drasha, that the Elohim tachat kol eitz ra'anan, v'lo eitz ra'anan Elohim. So why then is there a concept of an asherah tree where the tree itself is worshipped and it becomes us, or is that not the same as worshipping the earth itself? There, the reason that Asherah is Asura is v'pnei sheyesh batvisat yedei adam. V'chol sheyesh batvisat yedei adam asur. Now, this doesn't mean what it appears to be saying, that it's mitzat asvara, that it's asur. But Yossi Aglili, as Tosis explains later, is concerned that our approach to the pasuk seems to be inconsistent. In the beginning, we're ready to say that the meaning of Elohim Arahorim is that it means Velo Ahorim Elohim. So, how do you explain that the Torah should use the same phraseology but not mean what it's saying? How do we know it doesn't mean what it's saying? Because it says Beferish Asherahim just before. So, we know that you're supposed to burn the Asherot. I'm simplifying very much because the truth is that there ought to be an application of Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan that works exactly the same way. Because there's two ways in which a tree, it could be an asherah. It could be an extant tree which is worshipped. And an extant tree which is worshipped does not become usher, just like worshipping the earth. So I could have simply said, tachat kol eitz ra'anan means Indeed, if you bow down to a tree that's there, the tree doesn't become asr. The only time that the tree becomes asr is if you plant the tree, l'shem avodat kochavim, or, and there's another possibility, that's why there's three levels, we'll discuss in the Gemara, the other possibility is that you plant a tree, but worship it only after it's grown a bit. So then perhaps what grows after the point that you've planted it becomes asr. But in any event, Rav Yossi Aglili for some reason is disturbed by the inconsistency in the pasuk between the first two cases of Elohim al harim, the al hagvaot, in which we learn that that means specifically that the harim and gvaot are not to be gods, and yet Takat Kaleitz Ranan is. So he explains that no. There is a svara basically here. The svara is that it stands to reason that when I read those words Takat Kaleitz Ranan, I understand that it can't mean it in the same way it means Elohim al harim. Because harim are by definition not capable of being created or held by a human being. Whereas a tree, you could take a seed of a tree and hold it. You could take a sapling and hold it. Actually, there's a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about saplings versus seeds, which we'll talk about on Amud Beis. So Mamele, he's coming to explain that that is consistent, because when a pasuk makes sense, logically, you have a right to learn that the first elements mean one thing. And then in a series, the other one, which is a different concept, can be used in a different way. Says Rabbi Akiva, let me explain it to you. It's not that the pasuk doesn't make sense at all. It's not that it doesn't say something. Ani ovin v'adun lefanecha. Basically, what the Torah is saying is there's two separate directions to this pasuk. On the one hand, it says, kol makom shata motzei har gavoa v'giv'a nisa'a v'eitz ra'anan da sheyesh sham avodat kochavim. The simple meaning of the pasuk, after all, is an indication of where to look, not what it is specifically to identify what you're doing. It's just saying, you should know when you come into Eretz Yisrael, and that's the whole story of the pasuk. Now you're going to be shemir ma'akukim u'mishpatim. Look at the harim ha'gvoim. Look at the gevaot. Look at the eitz ra'anan. And check, because that's where you will find avodat kochavim. Now the other implications, that goes according to what's logical. Now the last part, takat kol eitz ra'anan, remains just an indication of where to look. But Enoch and Ami, the other things where it's possible to be Dorish, were Dorish, because the Pasuk, after all, doesn't say otherwise. It's only by the Asherah that it says otherwise. And that was what was bothering Rav Yossi. Rav Yakin is not coming to address. Rav Yossi was saying, look, in the same way that the Asherah obviously doesn't mean what it seems to be saying, that namely the Eitz Ra'anan cannot be Elohim, maybe it's the same thing by the Harim of Va'ot. Therefore, he comes to me and fires. That doesn't follow, because there's a logical difference between them. But meanwhile, we don't know what Rav Yossi Aglili is coming to add. I mean, the Rabbanan basically were basing what they said on what Rav Yossi Aglili is telling us, isn't it? They're saying that the harim themselves don't become asr, the gevaot don't become asr, but mashalayim is asurim. By the way, there's a very important machlokas here as to how precisely that works. The simple meaning of it seems to be that the harim cannot be Elohim, meaning the harim themselves cannot be gods, and since they are not gods at all, so even if you would bring a carbon to such a god, it's not a god, because the Torah is specifically saying the harim are not Elohim. Therefore, if we're coming now to Asur Masha Alehem, we can't Asur Masha Alehem because they are called Sipui La'avodat Kochavim, because we just said that the har is not an avodat kochavim. And indeed, says Rashi, that's got to be the pshat, because elsewhere the Gemara says that there's a difference between someone who does shchita to a mountain, l'shem Mount Everest, or someone who does a shchita l'shem the sar of Mount Everest, in which only the latter will be asur. But to view Mount Everest as a god, as the locals do, is not asur the shchita. How is that possible? If Mount Everest is actually a god, and the pasuk was only coming to tell me, but nonetheless it's mutter, so then not only the tipui would be asur, but also the takrozet to the mountain would be asur, and yet that's not true. Now Tosfos says that's not the point, and he brings a number of different, I shouldn't say Tosfos, I've been a time, Zemach Lokas and Tosfos as well, but he agrees with Rashi. And the Rabbeinu Tam has a couple of very important questions that he has to Rashi that need really to be addressed as we'll go on.
But he learns that that's not the point over here, the way Rashi is learning, and that indeed a mountain is called an avadat kochavim, and takrovet to a mountain is considered to be asur, like takrovet akum. And therefore the reason that it's asur over here is because it's the same as lo tachmot kesef v'zahav aleihem as on any other avadat kochavim. Rashi has to learn the lo tachmot kesef v'zahav aleihem as a new ribui, to tell me that even an avod, something that is nevad, that doesn't have a shame of avodah zora, the tzipui is magically osur anyway, even though the thing itself isn't osur, you see. So Tosfos has to explain, so what does that mean? How about the Mount Everest thing? So he comes up with a strange explanation that if you're not, that case is talking about where you're not in front of the mountain, and therefore you can't really shecht to it, unless it's to its idea. By definition, if you're not close by. So if you're not close by, you're basically thinking of an idea. So that's the pshat. If it's lahar, if it's lagada dahar, gada is the word for God, or the sar of dahar. Okay, that's a very difficult, for being rochok, min ahar, that's not called a machshav l'shem avadat kochavim, is very strange. And the reed, I don't understand what that's supposed to mean, and therefore backs Rashi and gives other explanations to the answer of the Rabbeinu Tam. But in any event, those are the two approaches. Do we have, in fact, a object of worship which nonetheless is mutter because it's mechuber? Masha'in came, the parts that are not mechuber, that are tzipuyim to it, those are considered to be also like on any other avodat kochavim, as the Rabbeinu Tam learns. Or do we have something that does not have the shame of a god, and therefore an isser of tzipuyim are because the tzipuyim themselves are worshipped together with that thing. Everybody is thinking of the beautiful design that's on the mountain that shows its glory. So there's a beautiful golden halo that they put on top or something. And memela, that halo becomes also because it's also considered to be the tachmod of kesef v'zahav aleihem. Ask the Gemara, so what is Rabbi Yossi Aglili adding? Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Haina Tana Kamar. Why would I want, I need Rabbi Yossi Aglili to be matched with the Pasuk, because Tana Kamar already considered that Pasuk. Oh my, Rami Bar Chabam Reish Lakish, there's a big difference. The difference indeed is in the issue we've been discussing. The Tzipui of the Har. Is the Tzipui of the Har Asur or not? So Tzipui Har Kahar Ikebinah. The Tana Kamar is saying that it's the Harim and the Gva'ot and the Mutter, but mashalayim are asurim. This is b'seirush. So therefore, they hold that the tzipuri of the har is not but tell to the har and say, just like the har itself is mutter, so too should anything that is there in order to be mitzapeh the har, like the golden halo that they put on top, should also be mutter. No. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili saw that tzipuri ha-har, harehu kahar. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds that the tzipuri is butel in terms of the har, and since we've defined the har as being a non-avodat kochavim, the tzipui, even though it was nevad at the same time, is no different than the rest of the mountain, and it's all mutar b'ana. Rav Sheshe Samar, Rav Sheshe says, no, they're not arguing about that. No, the whole thing is missing. Rav Sheshe b'kuliyam a tzipui har eino kahar. Everybody agrees that tzipui is asur. What's the point then of Rav Yossi agreeably stressing the pasuk? And the point is, and I'll show this to you as we will analyze the Mishnah, the point is, actually, Rabbi Yossi HaGlili was coming not to be matir more, but as a Tana normally does when he's coming to add. He's adding now things that are asura above and beyond what the Tana Kama said. And here, as I said before, remember that we have three levels of trees that could be called asherot. You have an asherah that was planted for the purpose of avodat kochavim. There everybody agrees that that's called an asherah. Then you have an asherah that was planted, but not with intent to worship, and then you decided to worship it. So that's called an ilan shenita'o. At first it was planted for not particular reasons of worship, as an avodah zorah l'besof avado. So the Tana Kama sabar, ilan shenita'o l'besof avado mutar. The Tana Kama holds that there's no problem that is considered to be, in fact, a thing that is no different than worshipping the earth itself, which is why the Tana Kama didn't need to address the contradiction between Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan. Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan means exactly the same thing as Harim means. The Harim are Elohim, but not, the Elohim are Harim, but not the Harim Elohim. Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan, you could find the God, but not the Elohim being the Kol Eitz Ra'anan. What does that refer to? That refers to a tree that wasn't planted for the purpose of a vertical farming. So the pasuk is perfectly consistent. It's Rabbi Yossi Aglili, obviously, who's got a problem. And that's what he's adding. He's adding his problem. He's not adding the drushes. It's the last piece that is so central to his argument. It's the piece that says, so why then do I say an Asherah is Asura and not bite the bullet and go back to the beginning of the pasuk and say, well, look, if Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan doesn't mean below Eitz Ra'anan, maybe the same thing should be true about the Harim and the Gvaot. That's what's bothering him. Because he has no explanation for that, you see. Because he can't say, yes, in a case where you planted it that wasn't meant to be Avodat Kochavim, that then indeed, v'lo eitz ra'adan Elohim, the tree itself doesn't become us, because the other tree itself does become us. So therefore, he has to give you a logical distinction between the first two cases of Pasuk of Harim u'Gvaot and the case of the tree that follows. And what is that distinction? The distinction is that that person's hand isn't shaylet on the first two. Mashenka, and a tree, it can be planted, see, even though it wasn't planted, l'chatzila, to worship. But the very fact that I was sholeit on this tree initially, when I planted it, leaves it in my rishus to define it subsequently as an avodas kochavim. And therefore, the last part of the pasuk that says, tachat kol eitz ra'anan, doesn't have to be consistent with the first two. Now, wait, let me just finish this. Because I'm trying to put it all together for you. Tosfos asks, but so why does he have a problem? There's still the third category, which is a tree that grew naturally, that nobody was ever sholeit on, and he could have said that Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan comes to tell me that in a case where people worship a tree, the tree remains mutter. Below Eitz Ra'anan Elohim. So what's wrong with his series and the pasuk? They all make sense. And why does he have to find an excuse? Tosis has a rather weakish answer to it. It's a very powerful question. Because we'll see later on that nobody seems to argue about a tree that grew naturally. Tosis answers that the fact that it said Harim and Gvaot initially would have been obviously that includes the tree. I mean, why wouldn't it? A tree is part of the ground. It's bechuvah to the ground. Why would I need a special pasuk for the tree? If I already have Harim and Gvaot, I mean, what does the Gvaot add already? So it's telling me that anything that's bechuvah. So what do I need a special pasuk to tell me Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan? That seems to be addressing specifically a tree, and that's its Ra'ananut, that I plant. So then it's inconsistent, and Rabbi Yossi comes to explain that inconsistency. That's what we'll have to say. But in any event, it comes along now, Rav Sheshet says, look, if you analyze what Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying, it's not the pasuk that he's bringing that's his chiddush. It's his problem with the pasuk that he's coming to address. And that shows the difference between him and the Tanna Kamma. The Tanna Kamma doesn't have the problem because the Tanna Kamma can explain that there's two types of Asherot, one which was planted initially for Avodas Kochavim, one that was worshipped afterwards. But since Rabbi Yosef really can't say that, aha, so there you have the Machlokas. Since he can't say it, now he has to explain it. So let's look inside and see this, says Rav Sheshet. That the Tanna Kamma is over Yelanchin into all of a sof avado mutar. If you plant it initially, you can't suddenly decide at some future point that you want to use it as an avodas kochavim. As soon as you plant it, it becomes bottled to the earth. Either you planted it at that moment for avodat kochavim or not. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili Sabar, Yelanchin into all of a sof avado asur. And I'll prove that that's the machlokas. Mimai, says Rav Sheshet. Take a look at the Mishnah. Minik Dani Seifa. What was Rabbi Yossi Aglili coming to over here? Mipnei ma ashera asura. So why then is an ashera asur if there sheyesh bat tvisat yad adam? V'chol sheyesh bat tvisat yidei adam asur. So what do you think that means? Kol sheyesh bat tvisat yidei adam. And what's that coming to say? La siye mai. The only point he could be making is it not lav la tuye ilan shnita'o. Ulo besof avado. So Rabbi Yossi apparently holds that even though l'chatchila it wasn't planted for that purpose, it's still not the same as the harim, not the same as the gvaot, where there was no tvisat yad adam at any point. Over here, since initially there was a tvisat yad adam, therefore it remains now in a separate category, and it's possible to asur it ex post facto, even though it wasn't planted l'chatchila for that. Now, by the way, there's a big machlokas also what this means, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi consistently says that it's talking about someone who planted the seed. Tosfos says it's talking about somebody who planted the tree. as a sapling. And he says, if it doesn't mean that, and you're telling me that the Tfisat Yad has to be in the seed itself, then there would always be an explanation for Rav Yosei Gmilu without coming on to Tfisat Yad Adam. He could say Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan was a place where the tree had already grown, and my transferring a sapling from one place to the other is not called Tfisat Yad Adam. It's only the seed that isn't yet the tree, that there I can have a Tfisat Yad. So then why would Rav Yosei Gmilu have a problem, according to Rashi? Okay, this has other implications we'll see as we go along, but I just want to mention it. This is the first time that it comes up.
I have a question. What do you think about it? Is this already a very early stage to the answer of the Spinoza idea? Or what Spinoza influenced by this Makrokes to bring a third answer? I mean, pantheism.
Why particularly trees? I understand, but what's the tree issue that's particular? So why not the mountain? And why not? But you see, we're distinguishing between the mountain and the tree. You're saying not the Gemara, the Pasuk.
I'm talking about the Machlokes.
You're talking the Pasuk, not the Gemara. Oh, okay, maybe. Yeah. This din that we just saw in my analysis, Rav Shesh's analysis of Rav Yosi Aglili, we know that Rav Yosi Aglili also agrees that an ilan that was first planted and then worshipped is also asur. Because we find in the bright, at the time of Rav Yosi Aglili, Eimer, Mitok Shnei Amar Eloheihem Al Harim, Velo Harim Eloheihem. Eloheihem Al Gvaot, that is, we're taking the same Eloheihem that opens the pasuk now and putting it on each one of the series. So Elohim ala gvaot would mean lo gvaot Elohim. You might think the same thing is true about the last part of the pasuk. Shomea ani tachat kol eitz ra'anan is Elohim, velo eitz ra'anan Elohim, that the tree itself cannot be a god. Now what's bothering him? What's bothering him is the same thing that's bothering Rav Yosi Aglili. If Rav Yosi Aglili had to address it in this fashion, so then obviously he held that there was no way to explain that the pasuk does indeed mean that. And what would be the case? A case where it wasn't planted, L'shem HaVadat Kochavim, and then subsequently it was worshipped. In which case it would be true that the Eitz Ra'anan is not Elohim. Must be that he holds that. No. Eitz Ra'anan would be Elohim. So now how then do I explain the last one of the series? Well, I mean, it says in the Pasuk B'Feirush that that's not the case. It says V'Asherehem Tisrafun B'Yesh. It says B'Feirush that you have to burn the Asherah. Now, of course, it doesn't really prove anything. Because maybe the Asherah that it's referring to that you have to burn is the one that you planted, L'shem HaVadat Kochavim, which the Gemara will add. But right now we're going to let that slip by us, okay? Because we're just trying to prove that obviously he's got the same concerns that Rav Yosi Aglili has. So if that's the case, why then, as Rav Yosi reviewed in the Braisa, why then was Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan mentioned in the Pasuk at all if it's not part of the Limud? So then Tachat Kol Eitz Ra'anan Lamali must be only look at Rabbi Akiva Udiata. The Omar Rabbi Akiva ni ovin ve'adun lefanecha kol makom shata motzei har gavoa v'giv'a nisa ve'etz ra'anan da sheyesham avadat kochavim. Well, apparently he's learning this in his Rabbi Yosi, but it was a very interesting historical sidelight over here. If Rabbi Akiva tells Rabbi Yosi Aglili ani ovin ve'adun lefanecha, it's mash, but he was a Talmud for Rabbi Yosi Aglili. And yet the problem is that Bruria, who was the wife of Rabbi Meir, who was one of Rabbi Akiva's and later Talmidim, calls Rabbi Yosi Aglili a mad Galilean. Galilei Shotah. So how could he possibly have been now the Talmud of Rabbi Yosi Aglili? So that's an interesting problem. So this brings up with a couple of other issues. I mean, who was younger, who was older? And he ends up saying that there must have been a relationship of Talmud Chover. Actually, he was Rachmi Menu B'Shanim, but still there was this relationship that allowed this back and forth kind of thing. He also proves from the Haggadah. It's very interesting. It should come up now. He says we see in the list of the Talmud Chachomim in the Bnei Brak, it has Rabbi Akiva before Rabbi Tarfon. Right? Now, that doesn't make sense because he was learning by Rabbi Tarf. So it must be that the order of things also is not necessarily Kovea, because that's one of the problems that he had in terms of the listing of Rabbi Akiva together with Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So in any event, getting back now to this story. So now the question is, and we're going to get to the question, we know the question. The question is, how is really the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda prove from Hashemah Yemtes Rafun that that's referring to a tree that necessarily you planted first, Shalom L'Shem Akum? Maybe we're talking about a tree you planted L'Shem Akum. But we're going to get to that question by pretending that we're troubled on the contrary. So how did the Rabbanan explain that pasuk? Yeah, the Rabbanan also would have to agree that there's something wrong with the structure of the pasuk if it's excluding Asherim. So what do you do now, Rabbanan, who argue that an eighth that you were noteya and then worshipped, what do they do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda? Ask the Gemara, Rabbanan, what do they do with that pasuk? And of course, the answer is obviously, what do we do? Obviously, that means when you plant a tree to worship, that tree is Otzer. Hey, that's true. So how did Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda learn out from that pasuk that even if it wasn't planted for as an Avodah Zarah? So then the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Nami, Mivayla Lachit. Enoch Inami, of course, the pasuk doesn't really prove anything. So then what does, how does he know? Eli Yilan, Shinetza'ola, Besof, Avadoni, Nolai. Aha. He learns that out from the pasuk in Veschanan. In Veschanan it says, Asherehem tigadeun. Now note the difference. We have, in one place it says, Asherehem tisrufun beish. In the other one it just says, cut it down. If you cut it down, then you've left a part in the earth, which implies that there's a part of the tree that is kosher and part of the tree that isn't kosher. Now, how could that be? That could only be a tree that was initially planted Shelo L'Shem Avodat Kochavim. So whatever grew first was Mutter. Then you worship it, so anything that extends out of it at this point now becomes Gidulim that were worshipped, and those things are awesome. So Ezehu Eche Giduo Asur V'Ikaro Mutar Havei Omer Ilan Shneta'ola B'Sof Avado. Therefore I say, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, there's two psukim over here. There's also Asherehem Tegadeyun, which tells me that even if it wasn't planted originally, L'Sheva Vodat Kochavim, it remains us. It becomes us in the second part. But that's not the pasuk that he brought. He brought the pasuk of Asherehem Tisrafun. Why didn't he bring the right pasuk? When he said, so how do we know that the Tachat Kolei Tzra'anan doesn't mean any tree that was worshipped? V'Asherehem Tisrafun Be'esh Kanatzik V'atabudah. The pasuk that he brought as a riot himself, now you're saying is the wrong pasuk? Indeed, what he was saying was like this. Ilu lo ne'emar kamar. He's saying, let's say it hadn't said this pasuk, of Elohim tisrufun ba'esh. So what would I have understood? I would have understood that even the Asherehem tigadeyun means the gadeyun, in the sense of get rid of it. So Asherehem tigadeyun is bi'ilan shenat to'o mitchila lekach. If I only have one pasuk, I couldn't have made the distinction. That's why he's coming to say, look, Talmud Lomar Asherehem Tisrafun Be'esh. So do we now know that there's a simple Asherah? Yes. So Ashtiv Asherehem Tisrafun Be'esh. So now I ask you to look back and understand now the meaning of Asherehem Tigadayun that you had before in Veschana. That's got to be an Ilan Shneta Olav Esof Avado. He left you to fill in the blanks over you. But it was true what the pasuk is bringing. It's that pasuk that allows us now to reevaluate what the meaning was of Asherehem Tigadiyun. Ooh, that's a pretty brilliant idea, actually. What did Rabbanan do with that? We had a simple question before, now they've got a real problem. So Rabbanan, Haiva Asherehun Ma Tigadiyun Ma Yavdile. What do they say that the pasuk is coming to mean? I mean, in essence, there's a contradiction here, right? Because on the one hand, the Torah says Tigadiyun, which means just cut it down. On the other hand, it says Tisrafun, make sure that you burn the whole thing. I mean, which one is it? They say, indeed, there are two stages, as Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi points out. The Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Yidu'ei Avodat Kochavim Kodmim LeKibush Eretz Yisrael, Kibush Eretz Yisrael Kodem LeBir Avodat Kochavim. Amazing. There were two steps. When we're told Asherehem Tikadeyun in Ve'etchanan, it's a first reaction. You're in the middle of a war. You haven't completed now the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. You see an Asherah tree. What should you do? Cut it down and move on. Don't spend time getting rid of Avodat Kochavim. But get rid of it as you go. Mow it down. But continue to mow down the enemy. Don't concentrate on the trees. Then, when you finish being Kovish and Tarek Yisrael, come back. And then, Asherayim Tisrafon. Then go back and be Mishare Shacharel, as Rabbi Yossi said in the Price. The son of Rabbi Yossi.
On the one hand, it says, "Unetatzem et mizbechotam," and it doesn't say what to do. It says, "Smash up the mizbechot." Implications being, "Vahanach," and then just leave the stones there. It says, "Ushvartem et matzevotam." Shibartem, sorry, matzevotam. It doesn't say what to do with it. After the netitza and after the shvira, so apparently vahanach, you leave the pieces there. Hanach? What do you mean hanach? How could you say you leave the places there? Sreifa boy. I mean, don't we need to burn it? Now the truth is, we learn that to burn it from the pasuk of Asher Ehem Tisrafun Beish. You see, but it's not that this is another drasha, as both Rashi and Tosfos point out. This drasha itself is so made on the Asher Ehem Tisrafun of the Rabbanim a moment ago. You do what you can to completely crush it. In other words, but it needs to be Misharei Shachareah is the meaning of this ray from that case. That's the type of thing that can be burned. That's whatever you need. If it needs to be coated and then completely destroyed.
The question is, if you burn it, can you use the...
No.
You can't.
No, that's the whole discussion we had yesterday about the sreif of the eagle and then the grinding it up, and it would still have been us. So sreif of Amravuna. Therefore, comes to tell me, Hanach, first, Redov, chase the enemy. When you've defeated everybody, come back and burn. So, Redov, Yakarkak, Srof is the important thing. So, wait a minute. So now, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda needs that posik to tell me that there are two types of Asheras. So, how does Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda know this concept? And from here we see, obviously, that Rabbi Yosef's drasha doesn't stand on its own. Because if Rabbi Yosef's drasha stands on its own from v'nitatzfem et mizbechotam, then why are we asking? He could say, I learned it from where Rabbi Yosef learned it. So it's here, it's where Rashi is supposed to explain. V'nitatzfem et mizbechotam is not a contradiction unless you have the pasuk of Asher Ehem Tisrafu. That's where we know this reifa from anyway. So, but if Rabbi Yehuda learns that there's two types of the Asherot, so I swear me nolly, that he says a different pasuk. He says, it says, Abeta Abdun. Abeta Abdun means there's two stages. Abed, Bakakakta Abdun. So what is that? It's first destroy what you can as you're moving along, then come back, find out what else is under the ground, where those foundations are, what materials could still be further destroyed, and destroy them. So wait a minute. So why don't the Rabbanim learn it from that pasuk and then agree with Rabbi Yossi that both types of Asheras are Asher? They say, no, that means something else. That means that, let's say, even if you uproot something, you have to dig to make sure that there's nothing left in the ground. That's the point. You have to get all the roots. You have to get all the foundations, depending on what the situation is. So that's Abed to Abdun. So how does Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda know that? Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, L'sharei Shachareah Minolei. He says, that's the extra pasuk of Ibatem et Shmam min hamakom ahu. When you say, well, obviously I've destroyed it. So what more can I do to be ma'abed the shame? To be ma'abed the shame must mean to make sure nothing is left of its impact. That's what a shame is, really. A shame is the remaining echo of the thing's presence. And that is ma'ayat, to be ma'shari shacharel. Oh, wait a minute. So then why didn't the Rabbanan learn it from that, which would have freed them up ultimately, with the extra pasuk of Asherim Tisrafun, to learn that the two types of Asherot. No, the Rabbanan say that means literally the name, not the echo, the name itself. And that is a chiyuv lechanot l'Hashem. Let's say you come from a place called St. Mary. Change it to Satmar.
They did.
And that's from this. The Shulchan Aruch Paschas, this. Lechanot l'Hashem. The Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Minayin lo kera vadat kochavim shetzarich l'sharei shachareha tamen lomar v'ibad temet shmam. Rabbi Eliezer says, I learned from v'ibad temet shmam that you gotta dig it up. Not from the pasuk of Abay to Abdun. Says Rabbi Akiva, no, that's not. I know that already from Abay to Abdun. Halo kvar ne'emar Abay to Abdun. You know what that means? It means literally at Shmam. You should change the name. Oh, so change the name. I mean, you could change the name to something nice. Why would you want to change the name to something nice? No, I mean, just change the name, to give it a different name, but not
It doesn't mean you have to be cynical about it, as long as you forget the name. Talmud lomar shaket tishaketenu v'ta'ev t'ta'avenu kicheremu. What's the connection between make it disgusting and ibadtem et shemam? The point is that you're supposed to turn the name into something disgusting. And put them down with a new name. Ketzad. Hayukolino ta'beit galya. They used to call it the place to which all is open and exposed, high up in the world. Kolino ta'beit karya. Call it the place of the depths, where you went down to hell. You call it ein kol. Call it the eye of the thorn, meaning a thorn in your eye. Ein kotz. Use the name to undo itself. Be cynical about it, and thereby uprooted in a deeper way.
What do we do about that?